Okay, yes, so good morning. Welcome back. Here we are another week. And we are, as we said last week, we were going to move on. Last week we gave a bit of an overview, touched on a few interesting ideas of the Karbanos. And today we're going to move on. That was Parshas Vayikra. There is Parshas Tzav, which is also more about the Karbanos. We are moving on to Parshas Shmini. But just before we get into Parsha Shmini, into the Pesukim itself, what we're going to do is I just want to give you a quick overview as far as where we're going now. So the Chumash gave a few halachas about specific karbanos, and as we saw last week. Now, what we're going to explore now is actually how they set up the Mishkan so that they can actually bring these karbanos. So the Mishkan, as we spoke about, really at length is detailed more in the end of Chumash Shmos, where you have in Parshas Truma and Tetzaveh, the specific commands, the measurements, how to build the Mishkan, all the vessels. In Parshas Vayakel and Pekudei, the actual making of the Mishkan. But what happened was that when the Mishkan was completed, they didn't set up the Mishkan immediately. They had to wait for the command from Hashem as far as when they would be setting up the Mishkan. And today we are going to deal with actually them setting up the Mishkan. So what happened was that it came to the 23rd day in the month of Adar. And this was about just almost a year after they left Egypt, right? So they left Egypt in Nisan, in the month of Nisan. And here we are nearly a year later. And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, the time has come and it's time to actually set up the Mishkan properly. Now, the setting up of the Mishkan itself, the structural part, is not really the focus. The focus is more on the fact that now we are taking the Kohanim, and specifically the Kohen Gadol Aaron, and we are going to designate them and consecrate them and give them all of their exact specific instructions, and they are actually going to begin serving in the Mishkan. With the goal, as we understand, the whole goal of the Mishkan was that Hashem's Shechina should rest in the Jewish people. So the goal that they are hoping and that they are waiting and that they are so eagerly waiting is for Hashem's Shechina to rest. And just to put this in a very broad context, just to understand, on a small level, what they were going through, these were the people who had just, as we said, left Egypt a year ago, received the Torah, but unfortunately, as we spoke about at length, done the sin of Chet HaEgel, the golden calf. Then they had gone through the whole process of tshuva and been forgiven and given the Mishkan as an atonement, as they say, in a sense. And not just as an atonement, but in a sense for them, it was like, if Hashem is actually telling us that we should build a Mishkan, and he says he's going to dwell within us, that means he wants to be with us. That's a total repair of the relationship, but much stronger than a repair. It's actually the complete relationship in a broader sense. This is the whole purpose of creation from the beginning of time, 2,500 years before this. So we know Hashem, this is already the year 2448 when they left Mitzrayim. Hashem created the world 2,500 years before with the goal that the Shechina should be revealed in this world. The Shechina was only revealed in this world for a very short time when Adam was in Gan Eden and he was able to bask in the Shechina, but he was there for a few hours, then came Shabbos, and then he's thrown out of Gan Eden. Ever since then, the world is, so to speak, working to prepare to enable itself to come back to that level, and even on a deeper level, where Hashem will reveal himself within the world. So this, you can understand that this parsha, and it's called parsha, we'll see why it's Parsha Shmini, why the word Shmini, but this that they were going to get to now was the peak for them personally, and the peak for the Jewish people, and the peak for all of mankind, and the peak purpose of creation of the world. So this is really the ultimate of the ultimate. So just to put that in context to understand this incredibly special day and why every single detail is so significant, everything that happens, and also why it is a day which has such a energy, which as we can understand, on such a day, the energy is so delicate that it can go either way. Anything can happen, which means that it is a day that we have to treat with such tremendous respect and such tremendous exactness, because it is the day of the completion of the purpose of creation. And we will see, and that's, we all know, I mean, just from background knowledge, and we're not going to get to that part today, but this day was considered the most joyous day since creation, and yet it also has one of the greatest tragedies since creation, where we will get to, where, just to put it in perspective, just to remember that balance, Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, will pass away on this day. And they were tremendously great tzaddikim. What makes it also, what sharpens the tragedy, is that the highlight, the person who plays the biggest role on this day, is Aaron HaKohen himself. It's his day. It's his day to shine. It's the day that the kahuna, and specifically the kahuna Gedaila, receives the honor and the, if you want to say, the way that people will look at it, the understanding of how special and unique that role is. So just as a general introduction. Now, the truth is that this parsha, if you understand, if it says, the pasuk says, Vayihi b'yayim hashmini, and it was on the eighth day, that already makes us realize that there must be a few days before that, right? There's 7 days that come before the 8 days. Where does it mention the 7 days? So the truth is that the parsha before, in Parshas Tzav, there are psukim that go through what happened during those 7 days. We are not going to go through that inside. I'll just give you a very quick introduction to that. Those 7 days begin on the 23rd day in the month of Adar, leading to the 8th day being Rosh Chodesh Nisan. What happened on the 23rd day of the month of Adar that it's called the first day of these 7 days? And what are these 7 days called that we are referring now to the 8th day after those 7 days? So those 7 days in Hebrew, we know them as the Shivas Yemei HaMilu'im, the 7 days of consecration, the 7 days of preparation towards the completion of the Mishkan. What happened? And this is a story. This is told in the Psukim, as I say before, but also many Midrashim elaborate about it. That Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu it's time to finally set up the Mishkan. But he did tell Moshe, Moshe was aware of this, that these 7 days are only really preparation days. The final day will happen after. So what does it mean, preparation days? What happens is that on these 7 days, every single day, Moshe Rabbeinu takes the Mishkan, sets it up entirely, and then takes Aaron, dresses him, takes his children, dresses them, teaches them, and actually demonstrates, and Moshe himself brings the special karbanos, the special sacrifices, but Aaron is watching carefully. So Aaron is, it's like this intense training exercise, if you want to say, it's not just learning about it in an abstract way. Now they are learning about it hands-on. They are actually watching. They're not doing, but they're watching Moshe. So during those 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu himself acted as the Kohen. He was like the Kohen Gadol. He wore white clothing, not garments of the Kohen Gadol, but special white garments. He brought all the sacrifices and he demonstrated exactly what to do in the Mishkan. They were very joyous and happy days. However, there was a tinge of anxiety, a big tinge of anxiety. Let's understand what was the anxiety. So first of all, every day Moshe Rabbeinu set up the Mishkan, brought those karbanos, dressed Aaron and his children, showed them what to do, but one thing was missing every single day. Every day that they did it, they did all the motions, but there was no sign from heaven, nothing. No fire from heaven, no sign from heaven, no revelation of godliness took place. So the Mishkan is there. It's like a physical structure, beautiful, wonderful. But where's Hashem? Even though Moshe knew that Hashem wasn't going to reveal himself yet, it was still a very big tease for him and for the people. And he would set it up, and then every evening he would take it down again. The next day, same thing, set it up, dress everybody, bring the karbanos, show them what to do, take it down, but no special sign from Hashem. And for 7 consecutive days, Moshe Rabbeinu did this. Just imagine being Moshe Rabbeinu, and we'll see in the Mefarshim that this was a tremendous tease for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because I don't know if you remember originally when Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be the leader of the Jewish people, take them out of Mitzrayim, that was by the burning bush. And it took Moshe Rabbeinu 7 days to finally agree to Hashem, right? Hashem had to nudge him, and Moshe Rabbeinu kept on refusing and saying, I'm not worthy, and all the different excuses that he gave. I can't take the Jewish people out. I have an older brother, all the different reasons. And the Mefarshim tell us because Moshe Rabbeinu took 7 days and he refused to do the job that he was meant to do, play the role he was meant to play, first of all, the privilege of being the Kohen Gadol was taken away from him, which is interesting that we don't even realize it, that originally it could have been Moshe himself. But even more than that, he has to do these 7 days now. So these 7 days, Moshe's going through. And every day, as it's getting closer to Yom HaShmini, and Moshe Rabbeinu sets up the Mishkan, and everybody's getting more and more revved up, there's this hope, a strange hope in the back of Moshe's mind, in the back of the Jewish people's mind even. Maybe today Hashem will appear. Maybe today will be the day Hashem will appear. And Moshe still had a hope, a little hope. Maybe Hashem will change his mind. Maybe I will be the Kohen Gadol. It's not just that. It's deeper than that. It's the ability, the fact that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, who understood the greatness of spirituality to the highest level. I mean, he knew he was on the mountain. So to him, the Ruchnius was like to us, the Gashmius. You know, like when we have a good meal or when we have something that we enjoy or anything physical or material, how real that is to us. To Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ruchnius was more real. Not only was it more real, but it was what he lived for. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, deep within him, there was this yearning. Now he saw what it means to serve in the Mishkan. And serving in the Mishkan, as we mentioned with the idea of a karba, means coming close to Hashem. The ability to come close to Hashem every single day. So Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe I can be the one. And also realizing the loss of what he was about to lose. So he didn't have revelation in the way that we'll see soon on the eighth day, but it was a kind of a tease. Now, also for the Jewish people, they were getting a little bit anxious. Would Hashem actually reveal himself? Did he really forgive us? That's always in the back of their mind. Did we really deserve the forgiveness? Is he going to rest in the Mishkan? And also, after all our hard work donating and building and putting everything together, was it all worth it? So every day, every evening, when Moshe Rabbeinu would take down the Mishkan to the Jewish people, it was again reliving almost the pain of what they did by the Chet HaEgel. It's our fault. We separated. We did something that insulted Hashem, whatever it was. We ruined the relationship. Do we really deserve for Hashem to dwell amongst us? So you can imagine, again, this is very important because just to put us into that understanding of what the process of these 7 days were. I saw something very interesting that it says, this is quite a sharp way to put it, that the 7 days also correspond almost to the idea of the Shiva, which is quite a harsh way to put it. But the idea being also for the Jewish people, it was a very serious, introspective time where they were again dealing with all of the damage that they had done and trying to do a tremendous tshuva to make them really worthy of the revelation of Hashem. Okay, so we have 7 days. Every day, up and down, the Mishkan goes up and down, up and down. And now we start Vayihi Bayayim Hashmini. Okay, so let's start and see what our Pesukim do. So we're not going to do every single Pesuk of the chapter inside. We will do quite a few, the main ones, and we're going to analyze and understand the depth. There's so much beauty just in these Pesukim and in this story, which is incredible. Vayihi Bayayim Hashmini, and it was on the eighth day. Kara Moshe La'arein Ulevanov. Moshe called to Aaron and his sons, Ulezikne Yisrael, and to the elders of Israel. Now again, putting in perspective, all the 7 days Aaron was already there, right? Every day he would come. He would watch Moshe. So what does this mean now? Why is it emphasized calling again? So we'll see, the Mefarshim will talk about it at length, but Aaron was still hesitating. Every day that Moshe Rabbeinu dressed him and he was watching Moshe, he was doing it with a sense of trepidation. And today, more than ever before, he needed a special call, a special encouragement from Moshe. And it's interesting how Moshe calls Aaron and his sons and the elders. The elders don't really play such a role, but the idea being that he wanted this to be done publicly, that Aaron should be known publicly, that he is the one designated by Hashem to be the Kohen Gadol. Let's see. What we'll do is I think we're going to read a few psukim, and then we'll come back to the Rashis and to the Mefarshim and to understand this in a tremendous depth. So then it's what happens. Vayomer el Aaron. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say now? Moshe is not going to do the work anymore. Now Moshe is going to stand back. He's just going to pass on the command to Aaron, and Aaron's actually going to do so. The Mishkan is set up. It's early in the morning on the eighth day. The Mishkan is set up again. And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayomer el Aaron, he says to Aaron, Kach lecha, take for yourself, very significant words, lecha, like yourself, interesting, why do we have to highlight that? He could just say kach, take, and we'll see why. And what is he meant to take? So first of all, Egel ben Bakar. So a young male of cattle, you see. So take yourself a calf, Egel. Ben Bakar is a male of cattle. So he has to take a calf. That's very interesting. It's very significant. For what type of a carbon is he taking this calf? It is for a carbon chatas. And we'll see soon why a calf for a carbon chatas. What's the question? Why not? So first of all, why a carbon chatas is the first one mentioned. But besides that, we don't know this because we haven't learned it so well, but if we learn the other psukim on karbanos, we'll see that generally a kohen, and especially a kohen gadol, does not bring an egel, a calf, as a chatas. They bring a par, a bull, not a calf. So this is unusual. This is very unusual that he was told here to bring specifically a calf. Okay, and it's for a carbon chatas. What else is Aaron meant to bring? The ayil la'ayla, and he brings a ram as an ayla offering, tmimim, unblemished, the hakrev lifnei Hashem, and offer them before Hashem. That's the first command. And then, the el b'nei Yisrael tedaber, and to the children of Israel speak, leimar, saying, chu se'ir izim l'chatas, what should they take? They should take a he-goat for a sin offering. So their chatas is not a calf. Their chatas is a se'ir izim. Very significant, we'll see. The egel, but they also bring a calf. But their calf, they're not going to bring as a chatas. The egel, the keves, b'nei shana tmimim la'ayla. They bring a calf and a sheep in their first year unblemished as a carbon ayla. So we'll see. These details are significant. Why the difference in the animals for the different type of karbanis? And this is what they're told. So Aaron, and then for the Bnei Yisrael. Vishar v'ayil shlomim, and a bull and a ram for a carbon shlomim. As we mentioned last week, the shlomim was the one that everybody gets to participate. The kayin, the purse, the master, and Hashem. Lizbayach lifnei Hashem, to sacrifice before Hashem. Umincha blula b'shemen, and a meal offering mixed with oil. Ki hayoyim, why? What's significant about today? Hayoyim Hashem nira aleichem. Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them this big proclamation for today, and it's actually here specifically to Aaron in front with his sons and the Skanim. For today, Hashem appears to you. Okay, so this is very big. It's the day. Moshe is telling them. So what happens? Vayikhu es asher tziva Moshe. So they take exactly what Moshe had commanded. El pnei ayel mayed, to in the front of the tent of meeting. Vayikrevu kol ha'eda. And the entire assembly approached, Vayamdu lifnei Hashem, and stood before Hashem. And the Midrashim, we won't go into this at length, but the Midrashim discussed this as one of the incredible miracles that all of Bnei Yisrael were able to fit in that limited amount of space. We had that a few other times. One of the times is by a negative time by the Mei Meriva, when Moshe Rabbeinu hits the rock. But also we have other times, and here is one of the beautiful times where the entire nation fits into a very small physical space. It's a tremendous miracle. It's the day that Hashem will actually appear to them, that Hashem will appear in this world. There will be this unity between the physical and the spiritual. It's a tremendous day. And they are standing, vayamdu, it's like the Amidah that we do with the Shemayna Esrei, the Mefarshim say, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem with total devotion, such excitement, trepidation. They're like, this is like, whoa, what's about to happen? And then we come Vayomer Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, Zehadav Hashativ Hashem Tasu. This is exactly the thing that Hashem has commanded you to do. Vayeir Aleichem Kvayd Hashem. And if you do exactly as He commanded, then Hashem will appear to you. And then He gives exact instructions. Vayomer Moshe El Aaron, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, Krav El HaMizbeach, come close to the Mizbeach. Vaseh Chatoscha, and bring your sin offering, the esailascha, and your offering of the oil, as we said, the chaper ba'adech, and it will be ba'adcha, and it will be atonement for you, uba'ad ha'am, and for the nation, vaseyes karban ha'am, and then the separate thing is bring the carbon that was for the Bnei Yisrael, and what will that do, v'chaper ba'adam, and that will be an atonement for them, kasher tziva Hashem, as Hashem commanded. And then it tells us that Aaron did exactly as he was told. He comes close and he brings and he shechts and he does the whole process of the karbanos. That's what happens in the next few psukim. I just want to show you the last three psukim of the perek. After he has finished doing the karbanos the way he is meant to, you know, bringing exactly which parts he's meant to, burning, skinning, whatever, all sprinkling of the blood, all the different process of bringing the karbanos the way he had been shown for the past 7 days and the way he had been taught, he did exactly. Vayisa, then what happens? Vayisa, this is Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayisa Aaron es Yadav El Ha'am. Aaron lifts his hands to the nation. Vayivarchem, and he blesses them. Vayered ma'asa is hachatas v'ha'ayla v'hashlamim. And he goes down from bringing the chatas. He descends from bringing the chatas, the oila and the shlomim. Some people say he blessed them after he descended. Something very key is missing. Okay, it's all wonderful. They're doing exactly what Hashem commands, right? They're bringing all the karbanos, sprinkling the blood, burning, doing everything they're meant to do, taking out the ashes. But what's missing? The thing they're waiting for, it's not there. We don't see any revelation of Hashem. It doesn't say anything about Hashem revealing Himself. Aaron did everything. Not only did he do everything, but he even blessed the nation. You can imagine what's going on. This is the eighth day, and it's already probably towards the middle of the day by the time they managed to bring all these karbanos, and nothing seems to be happening. Okay. Vayavay Moshe v'Aaron Eloi El Mayit. So here in cryptic form, we see that not only Aaron is here. Now, who's joining him? Moshe joins him. Moshe was really standing aside because this was Aaron's day. Now Moshe had to give up on his thing, right? This was Aaron's day and Moshe stood aside. But here, Moshe is also coming in. And where do they go? They go into the Mishkan. And what do? Vayetu, they come out. Vayivarchu esam, and they bless the people. So here's another time. And then, Baruch Hashem, at the end of Pasuk of Gimel, what happens? Vayera kvayt Hashem el kol ha'am. And the glory of Hashem appeared to the entire people. So here you see that it's actually happening. What they were hoping for, but petrified that won't happen, did happen. There's a lot of anxiety on that day, and it seems that Hashem doesn't make things come so easy. Okay, not for Aaron, not for the people, not for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all very interesting. And just quickly to read the last pasuk of this perek, Vateitze eish melefnei Hashem, and a fire came forth from before Hashem, v'teichal al mizbeach, and it consumed on the mizbeach, es ha'ayla ves ha'chalavim, the ayla offering and the fats, v'yar kol ha'am, and the people saw, v'yareinu, and they praised, and they fell upon their faces. So in a very pshat way, we see the story, but we have to understand a lot of things that happen here. So we'll go back, look a little bit at the Rashis and the Mefarshim. I know that time will go fast, and I know I'm going to be disappointed, but it doesn't matter. We will continue next week in Ritz Hashem, but there are so many beautiful lessons from this story that are so pertinent even for us in our own life. And I'll try to bring some in as we go along, even they really come after. But let's see first, Vayihi Bayayim Hashmini. Let's understand what this day is. So let's start with the Rashi. Vayihi Bayayim Hashmini, what is the eighth day? As we mentioned, Shmini Limiluyim, the eighth day of the inauguration of Aaron and his sons into the Gula, right? Following all those 7 days. Hu Reish Chodesh Nisan, this is the first of the month of Nisan. Shehukam HaMishkan Bay B'yayim, for on that day the Mishkan was erected. V'notal Eser Atarais Hashnuyais B'Seder Olam, and it took the 10 crowns that are recounted in Seder Olam. What does that mean? This was an incredibly, as we said, the peak day. It was a day full of miracles. It was a day full of uniqueness, the special day. It is Reish Chodesh Nisan. The reason that Rashi has to highlight that, there's actually an interesting opinion that Ibn Ezra says, if you just look at the Pshat, when it says Vayihi B'yayim HaShmini, we might think it's the eighth day of Nisan, Shmini, of the month. But no, we know, and Ibn Ezra says that we only know because of tradition, because it doesn't really make sense, al pi pshat, but we know traditionally that it wasn't the eighth day of the month, it was the eighth day of the inauguration. So it's the first day of the month, following the previous 7 days. What happened on this day? What are these 10 special things? So there are many Mefarshim that have, the Medrashim that discuss it, but they're not necessarily miracles, but they're very special things that happen. Just to very quickly run through some of the special things. First of all, even though it was the eighth day, but it was the first day of the week. It says it was Sunday. What is Sunday? So what's the big deal about Sunday? Sunday is the same day as the first day of creation of the world. Because as we said, this is actually the goal and purpose of creation of the world. So this happens, the aim and goal of creation is realized. The other thing is that this is the day that we're going to see later on. This is the special day that the Nisim, the princes of all the tribes, we don't realize, but it is that same day. It's a very full day. They all bring their special karbanis. Everyone as a representative of their tribe. The Kaihanim are serving now, not the Bechayrim. This is the first time that we have the Kaihanim in their job, in their position that they were waiting for, and not the firstborn. The fact that we are able to bring the karbanos tzibur, which means the carbon which represents the communal, so to speak, the community, not only individual. It's the first time. The heavenly fire descended. That's obviously something incredibly special, and consumed the karbanos. The karbanos have to be eaten in the prescribed area, first time. The Shechina settled in the Mishkan, as we saw. Not only did the fire consume, but Hashem himself revealed himself, and the people were able to feel the presence of Hashem. That's another thing. That's number 7. Number 8, the Kaihanim blessed the people, as we said. It doesn't say it clearly, but it's Birchas Kaihanim. It's the first time that we have that special Yivarechacha said with all the people by the Mishkan. The Bamais. Bamais means any Mizbeach, any altar, which is not in the Mishkan, is now forbidden. You're not allowed to just bring a sacrifice wherever you want. Now it's only designated, prescribed, where they have to. And the 10th thing is that this is where we have the concept of Nisan becoming the first month. Up until now, from creation of the world, it was Tishrei, because Tishrei signifies the physical creation. Nisan signifies the spiritual creation. So here we have Nisan as the first month of the year. That's what the Torah refers to it as, and that's here specifically. Okay, before we go into the other Rashis, I want to go to a few, the beautiful Mefarshim to understand the specialness of the day. So here you have in front of you on the screen, we have the Balaturim. It says, Hashmini Kara Maisha, that the eighth day, and Maisha Rabbeinu called to Aaron. So he says that when you look at the Gematria, when you take the words, Hashmini Kara Maisha, it's the same numerical value as Haya B'yayim Reish Chodesh Nisan. It was on the day of Reish Chodesh Nisan. Okay, that's what he says. And what is this? He mentioned something interesting and very short that we said, Amar Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu said, and this is interesting, it's a very important part of the process. Moshe Rabbeinu is reliving everything, which means that it's also part of his tshuva process. He says, Lefisha Savarti, Sarafti, Zayin Yomim Bisne. Since I hesitated, I held back, and I refused to do my job for 7 days, Hashem had to beg me to go and speak to Paray by the burning bush. Lo zachisi l'shamesh el Zayin. I only merit to serve Hashem for those first 7 days. And we know those days Hashem didn't even reveal himself. But still, he had those seven special days. Now, the Aruch Chaim says beautifully, and a lot of the Mefarshim comment, if you notice, we built up this day, we said, this is the day, the aim of the whole creation, right? This is the day that the purpose of creation is fulfilled. And yet, what is the first word of the parsha? You know, this famous word that we have many times? Vayehi. Oy vavoy. We know when it says Vayehi, doesn't signify such a positive thing. It's quite a scary beginning, right? We have it with Megillas Esther, we have it in Shoftim, we have it in Megillas Rus. Vayehi, it says, whenever it says Vayehi, it doesn't herald such a positive. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, Tzorich Ladas Matam Amar Vayehi. Why does it say Vayehi? Highest day. So he quotes from the Gemara Maseches Megillah, and there it discusses, Amar Rabbi Levi, this is a tradition which is passed down from the Anshe Knesses Hagdoila. Whenever it says Vayihi, it's something not so good is about to happen. It actually sounds like it. Vay. It's like what we say, oy vey. It comes from this. Vay, oy vay. Vayihi. It is. It's something not so amazing is about. It's like pain. It's a day. It's a painful thing. Umaksha, so then the question comes, Valkasov, Vayihi Bayay Mashmini. The Gemara there says, but what about this pasuk? This pasuk doesn't look like a day of pain. So Vitanya Isai Hayyim. So the Braisa teaches us, Isai Hayyim, Haisa Simcha Lufnea Kadish Baruchu, Kiyim Briyas Shamayim Varet. Never mind, not a day of pain. We're told that this is the day that was the greatest joy for Hashem, like the day of creation of the world. Ksiv Hacha Vayihi. Uksiv hatan, vayhi erev, vayhi biker, right? When Hashem created the world, it also says, vayhi erev, vayhi biker, right? It was evening and it was morning. And he says, that shows us, vayhi bayay mashmini is the same as when he created the world. So in the Gemara, what do they come to? What conclusion? How do we see pain here? If it sounds like it's such a happy day. So there it says, umitaret hamesu nodo vavihu. There is something terrible that happens on this day. And even though we haven't gotten to it yet, we finished the perek and it doesn't mention it. It'll come soon. And it wasn't right at the beginning. But nevertheless, this day has a terrible tragedy, which is the death of Nadav and Avihu. That's one way of explaining why we begin with Vayehi. Is it a negative, so to speak? Is it a day of pain? Or is it a day of great rejoicing? Now, the Gemara, the truth is, the Gemara discusses there that, and this is just something fascinating, that the truth is that if you have the word Vayihi on its own, without the next word being Bimei, maybe it's not negative, maybe it's not pain. If it's just Vayihi, it could be happy or it could be pain. If it's Vayihi Bimei, it's for sure pain. And then the Gemara discusses, what is Bayayim the same as Bimei? So there's a whole discussion about that. So according to some opinions, maybe this Vayihi doesn't necessarily herald a tsar. Maybe it is because it doesn't say Vayihi Bimei. It is not something painful happening. But we do see, and the fact remains, as the Aruch Chaim points out, and we'll see in a minute, he does develop it a little bit more, that the truth is that there was some tragedy. And this is, again, a very important thing to remember about this special day. This is a day which is, I don't know how you say it, but it's like literally, it's like a day, it's like when you have something so magical and so powerful that it has the potential for the highest greatness and of course the deepest pain. Because it's like what we say, if somebody is extremely talented, so to speak, the more they can do damage, right? If you want to say, the greater the day, the more potential it has for both. So it's like the day of creation of the world, but it also has a tremendous, tremendous pain. Okay, so let's understand. I want to show you something else beautiful. Now, the Aruch Chaim, I want to go to number four, and then we're going to come back to the Rabbeinu Bachai, because the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh explains, maybe there's a different way to explain the pain, and this is very beautiful. He says, maybe it's referring to Nadav and Avihu, some people say, but he has his own view. V'ulai nira oid. Ki hatzar shi yaget hakosuf hu shel Moshe. Maybe the pain that the pasuk is hinting to here is the pain that Moshe experiences. Hamuskar b'kasav, that's mentioned in the pasuk, ki ra'a gdulasai v'gdula zarei biyad arei nuvanav. Because what's happening here? He sees his greatness that originally he was destined to have. And what's happening, and not only for himself, but for his children, his descendants, and it's not his anymore. Now it's being transferred to his brother and his children. Look and see, as we can understand, if we contemplate the pain of jealousy. Midvar toiv ma oisef, a jealousy of something good and what it can do. In other words, not something negative necessarily. It's actually a jealousy of a good kind. Because what's he jealous of? He's jealous of the fact that Aaron gets to come so close to Hashem. And nevertheless, it still causes him pain. And it begins the whole parsha with the word Vayihi. So he says, Mimaisa banav shel Shimon HaTzadik. If you look, okay, I'm not going to go, but there's a whole story in the Gemara about Shimon HaTzadik and how when he passed away and he wasn't clear which son he had designated to take over. And unfortunately, it led to a terrible tragedy. There became this jealousy, and there's different ways of explaining as the Gemara goes through, but it led to terrible things. And one of the sons had to run away. They wanted to kill him. It was terrible, terrible. And then he says, but he says, and it changes what was before us, that it was for him and for his children afterwards. And let's see how he discusses Moshe's pain. Since he had hesitated to take on the shlichus and to do the job to go to Parai, Hashem was upset with him, and he was not able to be a kohen forever. And now, Moshe Rabbeinu, just think about it, was aware of this for a long time already, right? This is not just now. This is already over a year ago, much more, a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. So what's all of a sudden this sharp pain today? Because we all understand, he says, the day came today. Today was the day that it was happening. And then his pain, nitzar al sher, parach mimenu oiz tif eres kuhunas oilam. The fact that it had flown away from him, this incredible strength and this incredible beauty and this incredible splendor of being the kohen forever. Vagam ki etzem ma'od betzitkus ba'anava. Even though we know what was Moshe Rabbeinu's greatest quality, his righteousness and his humility. So why was he upset? So look what he says. Haloi kolev chai margish. Every living person has feelings. Every human being has emotion. Ubifrat b'davar mitzvah. And especially when we're talking here, Moshe Rabbeinu, so this is a spiritual loss. This is a mitzvah. As we can say, yikras ha'erechu muflas kazayt. I mean, yikara is like such a precious, valuable, wondrous, spiritual high that he was losing out on. V'ulai kitzar zeh ramzo ha'kasu b'pasuk v'ayihi b'yoyim kalais Moshe. So maybe that pain is hinted to by a different pasuk that we have in Bamidbar when it also discusses the actual setting up of the Mishkan. And there it says, on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu completed, and it also uses the word Vayihi, Shehu Itzuma Yom Zeh, that's actually this day. And maybe the Aruch Haim says, Misas Nadav Avi Remes Kan B'Pasuk Vayihi B'Yom Hashmini. Maybe this Vayihi is Take, the pain of Nadav and Avihu. Now we're going to discuss soon and see. Okay, no, maybe I'll go right now to it. I just want to show you something because it sounds almost like Moshe Rabbeinu is jealous. And I just want to show you something really, really beautiful. Let me just see if I can find it. Here, look at the Rabbeinu B'chai. Something really beautiful. Because the truth is, the jealousy is not of Aaron. It's not even jealousy. It's a feeling of pain. It's a feeling that I'm missing out. Not that he's begrudging Aaron from having it, but rather the fact is that he knows what he's losing because he appreciates it. So to him, it's a tremendous sense of loss. Look how the Gemara, the Rabbeinu B'chai quotes from the Gemara, it says, Amar Rabbi Shim ben Yechai, Halev shesamach bigdulosoy shel achiv, yilbash urim v'tumim. Do you remember the original? Where did he merit to become the Kohen Gadol, as we said? Do you remember originally? That was when Moshe Rabbeinu, one of the reasons he hesitated to take the job was, he said, I'm not the older brother, and when I meet Aaron, he's going to be upset, I don't want to hurt him. And Hashem said, you have nothing to fear, right? Because Aaron will have incredible, he loves you so much and he has no sense of jealousy. To him, he will have no begrudging, nothing. He'll be thrilled for you, right? And that's what he says. Remember over there, it says the heart that rejoices in the greatness of his brother. He is the one that should wear the Urim V'Tumim, which means Aaron, who is so great and has such a lev tov, if you want to say, and such a good heart. He should wear on his heart the breastplate. Shenemar, V'Nosa, Aaron is Mishpat B'nei Yisrael Aliba, right? He wears that special Urim V'Tumim on his heart. So all the 7 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved in the Mishkan, as we said, those first 7 days, he was the one doing all the jobs that Aaron would later do, sprinkle the blood and bring the keteres. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said, Moshe, Ma'ata savor sh'ata nasa kein gadol. You think you're becoming? Don't dream about it. It's not gonna be yours. And kara la'aren sh'yishamish b'kuna g'dayla. Call Aaron because he's the one that's gonna be serving as the kein gadol. And this is why it says v'zeshakasav kara Moshe la'aren u'levanav, that Moshe Rabbeinu called. What is called? He called them. He had to convince them. He had to call them with words of encouragement. He had to actually say to Aaron, look at the great merit that you will have, that you will be the one who will serve in the Mishkan. Now, I'll just finish it and I'll tell you what other Mefarshim explained here also. And why does he call the Zikkanim? Remember we mentioned in the Pasuk, not only did he call Aaron and his sons, but he also called the elders, Ligadlai Bifneim, to make him great before them. In other words, to make Aaron, to show everybody that this is Aaron and this is his job, to do it publicly. Amar le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Kum kra l'zkeinim, get up and call the zkeinim, Umanei oisai b'fneim, and appoint Aaron in front of them, kedei shelo yoimru me'atzmai nasa kohen gadol, that he made himself the kohen gadol. Now, just to tell you, it sounds almost, from the Arachaim, you see that Moshe had a little bit of pain. But the Mefarshim comment that the pain wasn't at all a grudge. Moshe was thrilled for Aaron, because there's a very beautiful circle here. Aaron was thrilled for Moshe originally when he became the leader, and here Moshe Rabbeinu is thrilled for Aaron that he gets to have this special position. But that doesn't take away, and this is the beauty, the richness. You can have both feelings together. The pain that Moshe feels is the pain because he's such a spiritual person and he understands what he's missing out on. But he also is able to be filled with tremendous joy and tremendous pleasure for Aaron that he has it. So he has both things together. This is the uniqueness, and this is a very big lesson for us, as I think that's a very beautiful line that Aruch Chaim says, that there's no person, as you can say, that doesn't have feelings. I think that sometimes for us to remember, a lot of times when we see other people, or we, you know, we might say something and we might think, oh, why should they feel bad? No. It's not up to us to decide why they should feel bad or they shouldn't feel bad. We have to have the extra sensitivity, because a person, a human being, no matter how happy they might be for themselves, for somebody else, whatever it may be, they do have feelings. And this is a very important thing that you can see that the Torah highlights here. Okay, coming back now to the eighth day, as we mentioned, because I just want to continue with the eighth day, and then we're going to come to other beautiful things. So it says, the Mefarshim, here the Rabbeinu Bechaya says that it was the eighth day. What was the eighth day? And he says a beautiful thing about the number eight. So he says like this. It's very significant, the fact that it's called the eighth day. It could have just said it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? It doesn't say that. Rather, it calls it the eighth day. Why the eighth day? So he says, Chinuch kahuna gedayla b'yayim shmini, kailal oitam acher. There's another reason that why it's the eighth day. Why? He says, V'hu, shematzinu sh'ray v'nyane ha'mishkan v'ha'migdash, sayvivim al cheshben shmeine. Many things, a lot of the things that have to do with the Mishkan and the Mikdash are to do with the number eight. What's the number eight? Sha'arei big day kayin gadol ha'yushmeina. How many clothes did the kayin gadol have? Eight garments. And he lists them, the tzitz, the chayshin, right, the special hat. The chayshin was the breastplate, the ephod is the apron, the me'il is the cloak, the tainus tashpitz is the shirt, mitznefes is that special hat, the avnet is the belt, u'michnesei bar, and the pants that he wore underneath. That's eight. And also, bas me shemen amishchol, v'hakteres, if you take the besamim of both the Shem and HaMishcha and the Keteres, Hayugam Kein Shmeina, they also are eight. And he lists them all, the different ones, the four and the four. Also, Habadim Hayu Shmeina, the Badim are the poles. Do you remember there were certain vessels that had to be carried by poles on shoulders, right? Not in any other way. You couldn't even touch the vessel. That's how holy they were. Where do you have eight? So you had the two poles that were for the Arayim, the two for the Shulchan, the two for the golden Mizbeach, Ushnayim the Mizbeach Hayla, and two for the outside Mizbeach, for the one that we brought the Karbonis on. And that's eight. Also the Karbonis. V'gamar Karbonis Shoyim Akriv M'lai Huchshir L'Karev Kiyim Achar Shmeina Yomim. Even the Karbonis, when were they ready? Only after 8 days, which means that you bring Uviyay Mashmini V'Hala, which means that you, first of all, that you, they have to be 8 days old. They can't be less than 8 days old. And even here, when were the Karbanas actually brought properly? On the eighth day. But he says more, Hashir, very beautiful. Hashir, Shahayu Halavim, Aymrim al HaKarbanas, Hayu Shmaina Lichanin. And it says in parentheses, which means, Shmaina Mine Klei Zemer. In Tehillim, if you want to count up, there are eight different types of musical instruments mentioned that the Leviim would sing in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. And he mentions Laman Atzeich al Neginais, al Machalais, al Alamais, al Anachilais, al Sheishanim, al Agittis, al Ashminis, eight different types. We don't know exactly what, but whichever ones they are, eight different kinds of musical things. Again, the number eight, very significant. Hayoyim Hashmini Hazeh, as we know, was Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Shabai Hukam HaMishkan, the Mishkan was set up. And as we said, it actually took 10 crowns, the 10 special things that we mentioned. Okay, very nice. What's the significance of the number 8? All very nice, all these 8s. But what is 8? Why do we have 8? Okay, so let's see. There's a few beautiful things with 8. And let's see if we can see at least one of them now. Before next week, we will go into much more. Let me see. Okay. All right. So I'll show you the Kli Yakar. Let's see the Kli Yakar, what he tells us about the number 8. So the Kli Yakar says like this. It was on this day, Nira Hashem Aleim, that Hashem appeared to them, V'loy B'yomim HaKoidmim, and not on the previous days. Al Kein Hutzrach L'Tein Tam, so it has to give us a reason. Why? Why Dafke this day does Hashem appear and not the earlier 7 days? Ma yoyim mi yoyim mayim, right? What's different today from all the other days? Why? Lefi shahaya yoyim zeh shmini. It was the 8th. Davar zeh. And this itself, the fact that it's day 8, garim loy kedusha b'yeser se'es, actually affects it, that it has a special holiness, a stronger holiness than the previous 7. Ki kol mispar sheva chayil. Because the Kli Yakar says it in a very nutshell. He says all 7s are weekday, are, so to speak, chol. Even though by us 7th is Shabbos, right? 7th is the holiest day. But it's still the holiest day within nature. It's the 7th day of the 6 days of creation, which means it's holiness in nature. So it's of a limited form. Then what happens when you come to the number 8, Umispar Shmini, Kodesh, but the number 8 is holy. Kedas HaMedrash, as the Medrash tells us, HaOmer, Shekol Kilusa Shamaisha, Haya, a very beautiful thing, that every time Moshe Rabbeinu praised, he used the word Oz, right? We know Oz Yashir, then Moshe Rabbeinu sang. If you take apart the word Oz, and he says, brings two psukum, Ume Oz Basi L'daber B'Shmecha, from then I have come to speak in your name, Oz Yashir Moshe, then Moshe Rabbeinu sang. What is the word Oz? Oz is made up of two letters, Aleph Zayin. Ki Oz, which means, Hainu Echad Reichev Al Sheva. One which rides on top of the 7. See how beautiful? One and then the 7. Aleph and then the Zayin. Why? Because the Zayin came, but now we have one that's going to ride on top of it. And what does this one signify that rides on top of the 7? V'hu lahashlit es Hashem Yisparech al kol sheva koich ve'leches. Because this is much greater than even the holiness within nature. This is the holiness which rides upon everything, which means this is Hashem who is greater both than the physical and the spiritual. It's greater than any sense of revelation. It is the source of everything. This is Hashem himself. And this is symbolized by this number 8. He rules on everything. Al kol hanimsam, on everything that's found, shenishavu b'shivas yimei bereishis, that was created in the 7 days of creation. Al kei nira lahem Hashem b'yoyim ze dafka, that's why Hashem appears to them dafka on this day. Mitzat ha-yoysei shmini, because it's number 8. Ki mispar ze miyuchad eilav yisparich, it's designated and special, it's a holy number, literally symbolizing Hashem himself. V'ze tam ha-karban she'ene merutza, ki im min yoyim hashmini v'hala, and that's why we don't take a carbon from any animal who's younger than 8 days old. And the other interesting thing is, v'zetam shehamila is on this 8th day. Why do we have brismila on the 8th day? And it doiche hashabbos and amila. Brismila can be done on Shabbos, which is people don't think about it, but it's we would imagine that we would have to push it off to Sunday, but we don't. If the 8th day is Shabbos, we do the bris on Shabbos. Shebishvi, Shabbos is the 7th. Why? Ki haruchni doicha hagashmi, because the spiritual pushes away the physical. Even the holiness of Shabbos, 8 is supersedes that. And then he says that it's interesting that also this 8th day took on a special crown, the crown of 10, as we say, 10 crowns. Why? Where does 10 come in? I thought 8 is the special number. So here we have two numbers, the number 8, and then he goes on to the number 10. The number 10 is even more special than the number 8. And what is that? Remez l'masha amur azal, so the chazal tell us, kinar shel yimei ha-mashiach, right, the harp of the time of Mashiach will be Shmoina Nimin, will have 8 strings, V'shel ha'olam haba asara, but the world to come, which is on a greater level, will have 10 strands. Why? Because Lafi Shleimus HaMashiach, HaMashiach V'nigla Kvayt Hashem, V'ro Kol Basar Ki Hashem Echad, Reichev Al Shiva, right? Because what will be during the time of Mashiach? That's when we'll have Hashem revealed that He is the one that is over all the 7. That's why we have the 8 during the time of Mashiach. But when it comes to the world to come, when we're totally beyond and totally, if you want to say totally separate from any material, so to speak, then they will even add to a deeper level of grasping, a deeper level of recognition of Hashem. Sheyakiru koyach malchusa yizbarach, they'll recognize the greatness, the wonder of the kingship of Hashem. Al kol nivdalim ha'elyonim, on all of the creations of above. Haklulim b'mispar tisha, beside arayn tisha v'kapayres tefach. So this is a Kabbalistic thing that says that in the higher realms there's a concept of, like the arayn has 9 tefachim and then the 10th tefach is the kapayres. It symbolizes the fact that in the higher realms there's this greatest thing called by the number 10. That's when, but we can't access that at all, even during the time, early time of Mashiach. But later on, during the time of Olam Haba, which could be the time of Tchiyas HaMeisim, then we will have the number 10. But all of that took place on this day of Yom HaShmini. They had a taste of everything. Imagine what kind of a day this was. They had a taste of the 7, they had a taste of the 8, and they even had a taste of the 10, hinted to by the 10 special crowns that day took. Everything was there potentially for the future that will unfold. As we say, Kisham Yiru is Kvayet Hashem Ayin Ba'ayin. That's the day we'll be able to see Hashem, so to speak, eye to eye. V'chein b'yayim zeh nemar ki hayayim Hashem nira aleichem, right? That's the day Hashem reveals. Like on this day Hashem revealed to them, that will be the day that Hashem will truly reveal himself to the people. Very, very special thing about this number 8. So also, Reb Shamshon Felhirsch says it very beautifully. He said that if you think about it, what happened here, why number 8? He says it's also to do with the Kohanim themselves. That this was very significant in their life. That they had 7 days, which are sort of the natural. Now they're entering a new status. They're new beings. It's like a rebirth. They're not what they were up until then. Now they are new beings, and we know now they will be able to have the schus to serve in the Mishkan in the Beis HaMikdash. And this is hinted to with this being called Yom HaShmini, the 8th day. Okay, just want to see if there was anything else on the number 8 here. There's a bunch of other things, but okay, let's leave the 8 now, or maybe we'll come back later when we finish the other things, but just to see one more nice thing, because we do have a little bit of time. Yeah, the Or HaChaim here does go at length also about the way that Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to Aaron was done with tremendous love. And I mentioned it, but the Or HaChaim proves it. He says, you know how we know that? Because first of all, he called Aaron and his sons together. He didn't have to. He could have called them separately. So that shows that Moshe Rabbeinu gave it to Aaron and for the future generations. The fact also that it says, Vayihi b'yayim hashmini, which shows us that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't wait, but he did it right away. He could have waited, delayed a little bit, you know, have a little bit more time that he's the Kohen, so to speak. But no, the first opportunity, when the 8th day came, he called Aaron and said, it's yours. This is your special position. This is your special privilege. So again, showing how Moshe Rabbeinu did it with complete love. Okay, now I'm going to start, we'll just start the idea, but there is a very big concept that comes through here. We said that what kind of korban was Aaron commanded to take for the chatas? A calf, right? A calf. We know, what does a calf make us remember? As soon as we say the word egel, what do we think of? The egel hazav. Here we're talking about the peak day that they are forgiven, right? Hashem is going to reveal themselves. And what is Aaron told? Take an egel as a chatas, which is not the usual for him to have to take. Specifically here, he is told to take an egel. So I just want to show you one thing before we, because I know we're not going to have that much time to see it in depth. I just want to show you one beautiful, I want to just show you something, just to give us a little bit of context. And next week we'll start to analyze what's going on here with the chet ha'egel, why are we bringing that into such a day? So, we said that Moshe Rabbeinu had to call Aaron, right? Call him and bring him close. In Latin, at the end of Parashas Tzav, it says that every single day when Moshe Rabbeinu was dressing Aaron and undressing him and showing him, Aaron was extremely anxious. That's what it says. And he was filled with trepidation. And let's see what the Rabbeinu Bechaya describes. Val derech ha-medrash, he quotes from a medrash. Hoya Aaron roya es ha-mizbeach. When Aaron saw the Mizbeach, what did he see? Kitavnis shor. It looked to him like an ox. It was almost like an ox is staring out at him. V'hoyo misyare mimenu, and he was petrified. What does that mean? To him, what was glaring him in his face? The sin, the chet ha'egel. Look what I did. I caused, you know, he took responsibility to a large extent. It was my fault. I should have somehow pushed it off more, whatever it may be. I had a hand in it. So every time he saw the Mizbeach, Aaron was filled with incredible sense of guilt, shame, guilt, fear. I'm not worthy. It was incredibly emotional for him. So it says, Nichnas Moshe Etzle. So what does Moshe? And he was petrified. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to go in with him. Omar Lai, and he says to him, Aaron Achi, Aaron my brother, Lai Tira, don't be afraid, Mimasha Ata Misyare, from what you are afraid of. Ella Hageis Daitcha, just calm yourself down, Uboi Krav, and come close, Elav, to it. That's why it says, Krav El HaMizbeach. What does that mean? Why was he's so afraid? So the Ramban explains the Medrash and says, "Ein hakavana b'Medrash hazeh shayorei al mizbeach tavnis shor." Obviously, he didn't see an ox on the mizbeach. What does the Medrash mean? Avala inyan ki aron lo yhaya biyadei avin acher zulasei avin ha'egel. The only sin Aaron was so perfect. The only sin he had was this sin of the egel, that even that wasn't really a sin, but that he had had a part of, so to speak, a bit of a taint. And this was fixed in Aaron's mind. Like, just like David HaMelech says, right? The sin is always before me. To him it looked like there was this calf staring at him. That holds back from him being able to bring any karbanis from now on. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, Ein lecha lehisyare, don't be afraid, mizeh. Shekvar nimcha lecha ha'avayn, because you have been forgiven from your sin. And we will elaborate on that next week more. What does it mean that he's forgiven from his sin? And if he's forgiven, why is he bringing an egel here? I mean, what's going on here? What's actually happening? Just want to share one last thing while I'll just unmute you. But a very beautiful thing that the Nesivas Shalom says, I thought a very beautiful lesson. You know, it said that Moshe Rabbeinu, he had to every morning put up the Mishkan, and then every evening he took it down. The question is, why? Why make him go through so much trouble? It's terrible. So the Nesivas Shalom says such a powerful thing. This is an important lesson for all of us. We want to come close to Hashem. We want to do the right thing. We approach, you know, we wake up in the morning and we set out to have a good day and to do good things. But inevitably, many, many, many times, things don't go the way we plan, right? We plan. I'm not talking just about things that we do, but responding the right way, acting the right way, it doesn't go according to how we expect of ourselves. It's very easy for us to get down, extremely easy, for us to beat ourselves up and say, look, I've tried it yesterday, I tried it the day before. It's all very nice to learn in all the shiurim, but it doesn't seem to be affecting me. I cannot change. And very easy for us to give up. The Nesivas Shalom says this was the whole idea. Every single day, Moshe Rabbeinu had to take that Mishkan, set it up, take it down. Set it up, take it down. To engrave on us this idea that yes, we have to keep on setting up the Mishkan again. Even if we took it down 100 times, 1,000 times, doesn't matter. The next morning you wake up and you set it up again. Even if you won't succeed totally, doesn't matter. Even if you won't succeed at all, Hashem values your setting up of the Mishkan. And eventually we do get to the number 8. Hashem gives us a gift and we do come close and we do grow. And some of the things that we are trying really become part of us. And we don't struggle maybe with that anymore as much. Struggle with something else. So a very important thing for us to remember every day. Wake up in the morning, set up the Mishkan again. Whatever happened yesterday, happened yesterday. Today we set up the Mishkan again. You can unmute yourselves if you have any questions.